Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the Rockcast. Been a while since we've done a Tipsy Tuesday, but we're back. It is Tuesday, December 31st, last day of 2019. And just reflecting back on 2019, it was a good year. We started Rockcast. I think our first episode went back in July. So if you're just tuning into the podcast, you should go back and check out some of those other episodes that we did. There's some good content in there. And what else did we do? I filmed a couple of rock slide films that will be coming out in 2020. And I filmed a rifle elk hunt with Ryan Avery that'll be coming out. And then I filmed a mule deer hunt with Robbie Denning. That was rifle as well, but that'll be coming out before too much longer. And I also did, I filmed a crispy, or a hunt with crispy boots. It's kind of a mule deer elk combination. It was pretty cool. That'll be coming out. We're trying to get a section of that into the full draw film tour. So if you have a full draw that comes near you, you might want to check it out this year if we get that film in it. It'll be pretty cool. And had a pretty good year just total with the hunting. I got miffed on my Wyoming archery hunt in for mule deer, but then I kind of rebounded during rifle season. And little Jordan shot a couple good deer here in Nebraska, and we had a good Nebraska guiding season. Here we got a couple of big deer. Ryan and Tanya Avery came out. Tanya had a tag, and she shot arguably the biggest whitetail I've ever seen come out of here. And he's still, they took him to a, I don't want to say professional score. I guess that's the right word. And he scored him just green score. He's not completely dried yet, but he scored him at 175 and like 3/8 or something like that. But of course that's not official because he's not dry yet, but big dang whitetail, just long beams, pretty tall, super, super massive, compact, had a couple extra points that got him there, but definitely one of the biggest whitetail I've seen come up here. So that was really cool. And Jordan shot a big whitetail during muzzleloader season just a couple weeks ago. It was pretty awesome. And we're wrapped up for the year for the most part. We have a doe season, like a rifle doe season that opens up tomorrow through like the 14th or 15th of January. So we're going to take the new Sig Sauer Cross rifle. Just got it in. It's actually one of the prototypes, but we're shooting that. They just released that, so that's kind of cool. It's going to be coming out this next year as well. So I just hope everybody had a good 2019, and just gonna roll right over into 2020 and make it even better. So we're really looking forward to that. And with show season coming up, we're gonna have a lot of new podcast episodes coming out, which is going to be cool. And I have some plans for the podcast as far as kind of new guests I want to have on and things I want to talk about. But I do want to open it up to kind of what you guys think. So I'm going to go over to the Rockcast sub forum on the Rockslide forums, and I'm just going to kind of open it up and ask what you guys would like to hear about during, you know, 2020, or just coming episodes, things that you would like to know, things you would like us to cover, or some people you want us to have on to talk about things. And you can also just shoot us a message on our Rockcast podcast Instagram page. We also have a Facebook page you can drop us a message at, or just jordan@rockslide.com. You can shoot me an email, and I'll do my best to try to get those episodes coming to you guys. So our latest episodes, we had Robbie Denning on talking about the Kryptek Gar puffy jacket. So that was the latest one. And then right before that, Little Jordan and I did a meals taste testing for like backpacking meals. We had like 7 of them. And they were all like spaghetti or lasagna. All of them, I guess. We wanted to do like a marinara based to do as like as close of a comparison as we could. And my top 3 were the Off-Grid Bison Pomodoro, I think is how you say that. And then the Peak Refuel. And then Heather's Choice Mom Spaghetti was 3rd. So if you haven't yet, check that out. I do want to input that now is like the best time to buy your backpacking meals for next year, because for one, a lot of them are on sale. And in places, like, you know, like companies where they're not putting them on shelves in like Cabela's or Shields or like big box stores, they just do small batches like Off-Grid. So if you want to have those meals, I would try to get them like now instead of waiting until, you know, the month before your hunt or even closer to try to get those. And then a lot of them might be sold out. So just my little two cents there to get in. So some new Rock Slide articles. We have quite a few since it's been a little while. And one of them, the Vortex Fury HD binocular, the 10x42. The Vortex Razor 18x56 binoculars. They're new 18s. The Matthews VXR, which is Matthews' new bow. Check that out. And Outdoor Vittles Hybrid Zero sleeping bag. That review is up. And Pack Goats for the Backcountry by Desiree Stark. And she just covers using pack goats in the backcountry. It's kind of a climbing, it's gaining more popularity. Ryan and I used goats. Well, they were Ryan's goats. Ryan uses goats. I was just along for one of the trips, and it was actually, they're pretty dang cool that that they can carry what they do. Helps your back out a little bit. And then the Stone Glacier Sky Air ULT, which is ultralight tarp. Josh Boyd did that, and we had Josh Boyd on a little while back talking about floorless shelters and tarps and things like that. And he talks about the Sky Air in there a little bit. So I'll link to that in the description. You can go back and listen to that. And another one, the Zeiss Conquest V4 6-24 power by 50. Scope review by Jim Carr. That's also up. And some new Rock Slide YouTube videos. Robbie does a good job at, he like documents his hunts via video, kind of per day. It's like a self-film type deal. And kind of like a play-by-play or event-by-event, he will upload them to the Rock Slide YouTube channel, which is where they are right now from his most recent mule deer muzzleloader hunt. So you can go check those out. They're pretty entertaining. It's pretty funny how it all unfolded. All right, moving over to the Rock Slide forums. Some things going on over there. The voting for the best elk picture and the best mule deer picture are open right now, and they run through today. So it's last minute, but they run through December 31st. I don't really have a time for when they wrap up, but they run through today. So go over to the Rock Slide forums and vote on what you think is, you know, there's like five of them on there. What you think is the top elk picture, what you think is the top mule deer picture. There's also a whitetail. The whitetail section of the best picture is still going on. It runs through January 15th, and that's the deadline that you can submit your whitetail picture. And I think First Light is offering some whitetail clothing that their line offers for the grand prize in that. And then we are still doing our video contest. So any film that you took in 2019 during a hunt that you want to, you know, cut into a little video, you can send it in to me at jordan@rockslide.com. Head on to the forums. I'll link it in the description to look at the rules. There's not many rules on that. So if you have a video from the 2019 season you'd like to enter, shoot me an email at jordan@rockslide.com and I'll get you lined out of what you need to do. And of course, we took out the clause that it has to be exclusive to us. It doesn't have to do that anymore. So if it's already on Rock, or if it's already on YouTube, go ahead and set it in and you'll still be eligible. So that's fun. Some new products that just came out. The biggest ones that I've seen anyway is the Kafara just released the Striker, which is kind of like a really simple day pack, but it has like a big load sling that goes on their backpack frame, like any of their frames. So a lot of people, especially it seems like whitetail guys, are really liking that for both Eastern and Western hunting. So you should check that out. And then they also came out right before the Striker, I think, or maybe at the same time, they came out with their Possibles patch, which is really cool because Kafara is kind of known for their pullouts, which is basically like a little zippered bag for organizational purposes. Well, their Possibles pouch is like, it has three zippers. So there's three different compartments. I think there's three different sizes. And so you have even more organization And I know it's not offered in their ultralight material. It's just offered in Cordura, but that's good because of a little bit extra durability, I guess. But those are a couple new things from Kafaru that I just noticed came out before not too long ago. And going over to some news over at Go Hunt. So they have released their 2020 application deadlines article, basically. It's only for members. So if you're not a member of Go Hunt and you want to look at that, I mean, you kind of got to be a member of Go Hunt. I really like Go Hunt for researching like other states and how to apply and things like that. But one application deadline that I wanted to bring up just because it's like right here, right now, is Wyoming non-resident elk applications. They are due January 31st. You have basically the month of January to apply. And it's always been that way. But one thing that they did change is they used to release draw dates really early for non-resident elk. It was February 21st. They're now pushing that all the way back to May 21st, which is right about the time that I think the residents find out as well. So that's just a change for Wyoming there. But if you want to get in on some hunts, this is an application period that I think a lot of people miss. That just, it's crazy because you just get done with the season and then you're already applying for next season. And it's easy to get done with the season and then just kind of let things slide until next summer. And then you realize that you didn't put in for a draw and you're just trying to bank on leftovers. So go put in for that if you want to. And then another article from Go Hunt in the news is Pennsylvania has approved Sunday hunting with a little bit of a catch. There's only three of them. So only three Sundays are going to be open to hunting in Pennsylvania, which is a step forward, whereas before you couldn't hunt at all on Sundays. So there's going to be one during the rifle season, there's going to be one during the archery season, and then there's going to be one more that is to be determined by the Pennsylvania Game Commission. So that's coming up. And for our hot minute today, the other day when I was talking to Robbie, we started talking about using kind of the buddy system and for hunting like other states and other areas and whatnot. And he kind of did this through his muzzleloader hunt this year for mule deer. So I'm just going to hand it right over to Robbie and we'll talk about using the buddy system for hunting a new area. All right, Robbie. So I saw a while back you did some posting on like tactics. Everybody's always asking about tactics for hunting new country, especially, you know, guys out east that can't get out west to scout before they go into an area, or just even Western guys trying to go into a new area. And one thing you brought up was the buddy system. So I was wondering if you'd elaborate on that a little bit.
Sure, Jordan. You know, I've been looking for hunting areas DIY since, you know, the late 80s, you know, a very young man, just, you know, wanting to go hunt new places. You know, I'm always looking for the best deer I can find. And so, you know, usually you have to increase your circle beyond your own back 40 or your favorite unit. And so, you know, I was researching deer country before there was even forums. But when forums came out, you know, I noticed that you have two type of people on the forums. You have the guys that are really brave, borderlining on foolish, that join a forum. They only have one post and they jump on and say, "Hey, I'm going to New Mexico. You know, can you guys give me the top three units where I should be looking for, you know, giant bears or whatever they're looking for?" And as you know, Jordan, I heard you chuckle, they don't get a lot of honest response. In fact, they kind of get their butt chewed by a lot of the older forum members. They're like, "Wait a minute, man, you just roll in here and, you know, you've never contributed, you've never been part of the site, and suddenly we're supposed to, you know, be drawing circles on a map for you." So there's those guys. I don't recommend that. You really need, I talked about this in my book, you need to think way ahead and of the hunting season. You know, join a forum like Rockslide and start posting, become part of the community. Forums are not as anonymous as people think they are. And, you know, forums are communities. And so you need to join that community. So for Rockslide, you know, if you're thinking, "Hey, at some point I want to start hunting beyond my own little circle here," you're going to need some help. And so by joining a community and starting to post and share what you know, even if you're just sharing about your clothing or your gun or whatever, get that post count up there so that when people look at you, they're like, okay, this guy has been a contributing member of the community. That's going to get you a long ways on the forums. But the other type of person I've noticed on the forum, they never post. They're what we call lurkers, and they're just, you know, for whatever reason, you know, they think social media is vanity, even though they're on social media. And they don't, you know, oh, I'm not the type of guy that joins conversations. And okay, I get that. You know, I'll go to a Christmas party tonight, and sure enough, there'll be somebody there that's not really out talking to everybody. But if you want good information on where to go hunting, you just got to get over it, and you got to get in the mix, and you got to start talking to people. And so what happens with lurkers is they go on forums, and they put in their unit. And then they go in and they read all the posts on that unit and they try to formulate a plan. Now, I'm not saying that's a bad idea. I mean, I've done it too. I mean, it's part of my research. But the problem with it is you're reading the same thing all the other lurkers and members are reading. You know, I mean, I've kind of learned with public research that all people always end up in the same spot. And maybe this has happened to you, Jordan, but man, you'll hike way up in a drainage and boom, the other guy you meet, bam, he's a rock slide member. Well, there's a reason, you know, he's looking at the same research that you are. And so where I'm going with all this, that's part of your research, you know, be a lurker. You know, be a joiner, whatever, you know, participate. But the next level up really truly is what I call the buddy system. When I'm going to hunt a new area, a new unit, I want to go with somebody that's been there, that knows it, that maybe they don't have to have the same hunting goals that I have. You know, if I'm looking for the best deer, you know, maybe they don't have to have that, but you know, in a couple of hours of riding around in a pickup with someone that has actually been to the unit, oh my gosh, it saves me so much time. And it's almost irreplaceable intel that you just can't get anywhere else. Because again, if I'm only going off of the forums and the public research avenues, I'm hearing the same thing from everybody. But you know, I go with somebody and they're like, oh yeah, that mountain over there, you know, that used to have a bunch of big bucks on it. But, you know, since they put that housing division at the bottom, you know, there's mountain bike trails all over that thing. Nobody in town ever gets a big buck over there. But some of this low country over here by the airport, you know, I still see good bucks down here. You know, my buddy got one over there last winter. Oh, that is just golden intel. Now, some people will put that on a forum too. But again, once it's on the forum, everybody's going to be hunting the low country by the airport. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so case in point was this year, Idaho's got its butt handed to it on the last two out of three winters, and we have lost a lot of bucks. Now, not statewide, there's still a few little pockets that are doing okay. But you know, the guys that I know that hunt big mule deer are like, man, it's tough. It is tough right now. We just don't have a lot of big bucks. And so earlier this year, before, you know, it's what, 2019 right now. So in the spring of 2019, all the areas that I know right now are on their heels. I mean, I'm talking where I used to see 20 bucks, I'm seeing 1 to 3, you know, it's just tough. And so I thought, well, this is a good year for me to get out of this winter kill zone, which has primarily been along the eastern border of Idaho and the western border. So basically southeast Idaho, western Idaho has been where it's the worst. I thought, and where our central Idaho stuff hasn't been hit near as hard. Some of it has, again, it's kind of in pockets, but there's some of it that, you know, just didn't get the bad winters that the rest of the state got. So I thought I should really maybe take a year and go look at some of that stuff, even though genetically it's not where we grow our best deer. And so there's a guy that lives here in Idaho Falls. I'm you know, friends with him, but you know, we're not going to barbecues together and, you know, each other's, you know, baby blessing. It's just a guy I know in the community. The hunting community is pretty cool. And he had mentioned in past years, you know, maybe we ought to do a hunt sometime. And I said, yeah, let's just see if we can find one that works. Well, as I was thinking about it this year, I know he hunts some of that country. So I said, hey, do you want to apply together this year? And, you know, not being pushy or anything, but, and he's like, yeah, let me check my schedule. I was thinking about doing that hunt again. It's, you know, it's a muzzleloader hunt. So I waited to hear from him, and he got his schedule cleared. Yeah, let's apply. So me, him, and my son applied. Now, keep in mind, I've never hunted a single day with this guy in my life. And, you know, but I told him, I'm putting in with you, just kind of relying on your information. You know, you let me know what you want me to do. This country's far enough away from my house. I'm not going to be able to, you know, really get it on my scouting agenda. And there's nothing to really scout as far as bucks, because it's a winter range hunt, you know, opens in November, and, you know, going over there in July, it's not that that wouldn't be helpful. You know, you can learn the road systems and everything, but he already knew all that. And so he knew that's why I was putting in with him. And, you know, we worked together, got up to the time of the hunt. I show up in the area the first hunting day I have ever been there in my life. And I already know where to start looking, because he shared that with me. And I'm talking small picture research, what I wrote about in my book. I know exact canyons, ridges to start looking for bucks on, rather than what we call the big picture research. That's typically what you're just getting off the forum. Oh, unit 41, man, that's got some big bucks in it. Well, Flip, you get out to unit 41, you're like, man, this is 600 square miles of country. Where do I start? Yeah. So I was able to bypass all that and get into the unit. My friend's name is Corey, by the way. And, the first couple mornings we hunted together. You go that way, I'll go with you, and we'll glass different stuff. And then the plan was, throughout the week, as I got a little better feel of the unit, we would split up, you know, just totally different trucks, you know, and cover as much country as we can, because that's kind of a recipe for success when you're looking for big mule deer during the rut. Well, we didn't even make it past opening night, and I killed a good buck. And looking in an area that we had glassed that morning, we confirmed there were deer there. That afternoon, Corey's like, hey, I've got some country that's further up the canyon. If you don't mind just dropping me off, I'm going to hike back up on some ridges, get some eyeballs on some different country. And I said, that's fine. I said, I'll go to hunt this low stuff. You can kind of glass it from the pickup and, you know, figure out where the deer are. And, you know, maybe I can get a stalk on before dark. Well, I didn't even make it to dark. I'm glassing from the pickup with my 15 Mavens out the window, and I spot a good buck. And now for this unit, a good buck is going to be about 24 to 27 inches and have a big body. Mm-hmm. They just don't get a lot bigger than that in this area. And he was all of that. And he was just above me in some ledges, straight up the hill. And I think he had seen me. He was rutting some does that were out on this face that we had seen earlier in the day. That's why I was glassing right there, because I thought, man, all those does out in that open sagebrush right there, and there's probably a good buck hanging back in this timber right here. And sure enough, that's where he was. I had to move the pickup and get it clear off the road so that I was legal to shoot. I couldn't even get out of the pickup because it was along such a the road shoulder was the embankment into the creek. And so if I'd have moved the truck even literally one more inch, I'd have been off the road down in the creek. Mm-hmm. So I got the truck as far over as I could, you know, keep the game warden happy, all that stuff. And the buck, his face was hidden in some mahoganies. He couldn't see me, but he could hear me down there. And I got him. And the whole thing behind that story is, less than 10 hours in the unit, I killed a mature big buck for the area, but it all got back to the buddy system.
Yeah.
Going with somebody that knew the area. Now, this is the gold standard. You're not just going to have people lining up to take you hunting. In fact, you may go years and not even be able to find somebody that'll take you. But all I'm saying is, get that on your list. If you can find somebody to go with that knows the area, that is going to pay off more than about anything that you can do. And, you know, that was the first day of our hunt. And of course, you know, I want to help Corey too. He just helped me. I stayed there the next 4 days with him, glassing, you know, helping him find bucks, you know, paying him back for all the help that he gave me. My son Drew too. We were back in the unit and a couple days later, you know, continuing to look for bucks for him. My son's standards are a lot lower, so we were able to get him on a 4-point. And so all I'm saying is, the buddy system works. If you can find people to go with, you know, don't use them, you know, figure out a way to, you know, help them, you know, all that other stuff. But boy, if you can come up with relationships like that, yeah, it's going to pay off in spades. And I could tell you about six or seven other hunts over the years where I've relied on the buddy system, where I've taken big deer, you know, my first time in the unit. So I know it works. I know it works. And so anyways, there's your Tipsy Tuesday, Jordan.
Perfect. Thanks a ton. So we kind of had the same thing happen with us. Jordan and I just went on a cow elk hunt in Wyoming, and we had a, I would say that kind of the step below what you're talking about is we had a buddy that's been in the area a bunch. He basically told us where to go. We had actually had to apply for some permission slips to get in there for late season cows on some private ground. So we did that, and it helped us out a ton. But one thing with that, kind of that step below when they're not actually with you on the hunt, it can still be interesting. I would still recommend trying to go out and at least like drive the roads, because the first day we just drove the roads, and then, you know, some of it and a little bit of what I'm not familiar with is doing the, you know, being around a lot of private ground where there's just BLM and state ground broken up in it. So the elk are, they're on and off public into private. And so you don't, some of it with me too is I really don't want to get in trouble and do anything bad. So I was a little hesitant on which roads I could go down, especially those two tracks and stuff like that. So I still would, or really pick their brain about that kind of stuff. You know, like I stopped and talked to a game and fish guy in this area we were trying to get into. He said, you cannot get into it with wheeled vehicles. So I got to the gate and I actually saw wheeled tracks going through the gate, but you know, a guy just told me you can't go through there. So we didn't. And I think more of what he meant was you're going to get stuck if you go in there. Not that you can't go in there, but I took it as
gotcha.
I can't go in there.
Yep.
Yeah. So we're glassing from the road and trying to find some elk, and a pickup rolls out of there, and a guy just shot an elk in there that day. And I'm kind of like, dang it. So that was kind of the downfall of just, it helped us out a ton because we knew like right where to go. We knew road names, we knew all this stuff, but there was still a little bit of the unknown. So I would just make sure if somebody's writing stuff down, you really pick their brain about that kind of stuff if they can't be with you.
Oh, Jordan, you bring up such a good point. And I'm glad you tied it to that story, because that's driving the point home. I can't tell you how many times I've had very helpful hunters just say, okay, here, dude, go here, go there. You know, maybe they even draw a circle on my map. And, you know, running a scouting service over the years, I've seen this happen firsthand with people that we've helped. That stuff all really helps. But man, just being with someone when you get your eyeballs on the country for the first time can just shorten the learning curve so fast.
Yeah.
Because, you know, even on Google Earth, you still aren't able to quite get what they're saying, you know, for lack of a better way to explain it. Your confidence level isn't as high, you know, as when you're there with them, and maybe your faith isn't as high. Is probably a better way to say it. So somebody tells me, hey man, go hunt on that section 34 behind old Miller's place right there. There's usually a good backpack in there. You know, in my mind, I'm thinking, awesome, man, I just got to get there. I'm going to see horny head running around in the brush. Well, I get there and I'm like, well, man, there's like 40 cows in here. And did he mean that ridge right there? And then like what you said, how do I get in here? Is it okay to drive in here?
Yeah.
So all I'm saying is that it's the gold standard when you can go with somebody. It will almost always shorten your learning curve. And if that guy would have been able to drive around with you and go there, he'd say, oh yeah, you can drive through that gate. That's no problem at all. Where you're sitting there, you know, making a hunt, deciding decision, like how's the hunt going to come out here based on, gosh, do I drive through the gate? Do I not? And bam, here comes out a guy with an elk.
Yeah.
So that's all I'm getting at right there is just, yeah, when you can talk to people that have had their boots on the ground. And one last thing on all this, they don't always have to be hunters. In fact, sometimes hunters are a little bit evasive, and I've got some great, great intel from people that just live in the units. Maybe they're familiar with hunting, but they don't hunt themselves. But it really just gets down to talking to people, I guess, is what I'm at. And I think your story just totally illustrates that.
Yeah, I need to get better about talking to people, because usually I try to avoid the people instead of, you know, stopping people on the road and just asking them how the day is going and what, you know, if they've seen anything, whatever. I usually just try to avoid that. But I got to get better at that. But it's definitely helpful. It can be helpful.
Well, it is. And I think, you know, like you can be too pushy too. Don't be pushy. Don't be rude, man. When somebody rolls up to me in their truck and they, you know, roll the window down, "Hey dude, seen any 30 inchers? You know, where are you from? Where are you guys hunting?" Oh, that's the man. I shut down on that guy. You know, but, you know, just talking to people. In fact, this buck I just killed that I gave you the story on, I had seen a cowboy down on the road about a half an hour before that. And I mean, literally a cowboy. I mean, he's got the Carhartts on, he's got the scarf tied around his neck. You know, he's got an old beat up cowboy hat. Looks like it's older than me. And, you know, I just stopped and talked to him, and he had a spotting scope out. So I said, "Are you hunting?" He goes, no. He goes, "I don't have a tag." He goes, "But I just live down here in the valley. I like to come up here and look at bucks." He goes, "Sometimes there's a pretty good buck right here along these ledges." Well, that's where I ended up killing my buck. So there's one more little piece of intel that I got from somebody without being pushy. And he makes my case. He's not a hunter, so he's not going to be super protective of the information. And anyways, it just relationships with people is what I'm getting at, or is going to get you some good intel. And, you know, make sure you're talking to people.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I appreciate you hopping on and talking about that.
That's why I'm a big believer in preseason scouting, is because sometimes when you go to the unit, you don't even find the game. But if you're willing to talk to people, not just hunters, and typically in preseason scouting, there's no hunters around either. You're going to pick up tips. You're going to help narrow that great big unit down into just a couple of huntable areas.
Yep. Good stuff. Well, thanks. Thanks again, Robbie. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, Jordan. Thank you.
Yep. All right, everyone, that's going to wrap up Tipsy Tuesday for today. It's again, it's December 31st. It's New Year's Eve. So go out and enjoy tonight. Be safe, of course, and can't wait to see what's going to come in 2020. We'll talk to you guys later.